Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. He's Mike Love from the Beach Boys. Welcome again to WGN, Mike.
Well, we're looking forward to Ravinia, you know, and we've got John Stamos coming. When we say we're going to play Ravinia, then John Stamos magically appears.
Well, John Stamos isn't the first guy or musician or personality or whatever you want to call it to hang out with the Beach Boys. I mean, if my memory serves me correctly, and that's questionable, wasn't Glenn Campbell part of the Beach Boys for a while? And there have been some other people, too, I think.
For about 6 months, when my cousin Brian Wilson decided that he didn't want to do the traveling anymore, that was in 1964, Glenn Campbell did fill in for about 6 months before Bruce Johnston took over in 1965, and the first song he sang with us was California Girls. Not a bad start.
Not a bad start at all. I would like to verify a story I've heard concerning a well-known disc jockey in Chicago radio history named Dick Biondi, who was... So this story is that Dick Biondi's working, at KLAC or something like that in Los Angeles, and you guys want to get your song on the air, and you actually go to the station and beat on the window or something?
Well, you know, my cousin Brian was so anxious to get it on the radio that he didn't mind if it was the middle of the night. And we've done that more than once. A couple times we'd drive to the local radio station and say, would you please put this on the air? And then it was kind of contrary to their usual, you go to the program director first, but now impulsivity overrode reason. And but it worked a couple times, I have to say, you know.
So you did. You did go down there with Biondi then?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
I remember doing that.
That is truly incredible. I've worked with Dick at a couple of radio stations here, and he always makes a point of telling us how many times he was fired. And then he also tells us about the Beach Boy and said that the guy's got unbelievable stories. Unbelievable stories. Getting back to Ravinia, August 21st and 22nd, I'm also looking at the shows between now and then. If you're in the area, August 13th at the Wisconsin Dells, then the 14th at the Wisconsin State Fair. This one caught my eye. August 16th at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake.
That's right, a rather notorious location due to a certain plane crash.
Yeah, that's the whole Buddy Holly. Yeah.
Big bopper.
That's where they were headed. So when I saw that, I'm like, am I thinking what I'm thinking? And yeah, it's true. So there's a lot of places.
And we're doing the Iowa State Fair next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We're all over the place. Indianapolis, we're playing the Indiana State Fair. We're playing the Wisconsin State Fair, as you said. And that'll be on Saturday? Yeah. And so, we're all over the Midwest, and it's great. It's great to be out touring and doing live music again after it being, confined to quarters for a year and a half.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people feel that way. And even if you had some misgivings prior to the COVID about, well, am I going to still do this touring thing? All they got to do is take it away from you for a year and a half, and you're right back out there. I mean,
there's only so much you can, so much honey-do stuff a guy wants to do in life. So I think we've all had it. Maybe we overreacted. We've got so many shows booked for the summer and the fall, but it's great, though. We appreciate it more than ever.
Right. And I think I think fans such as myself, we appreciate you guys more than ever when you show up and deliver the goods as you always do. I mean, how many years have you been touring?
Well, our first song was Surfing, came out on the radio in the fall of 61. Our first shows were in 1962, along with Surfing Safari, and then 63, Surfing USA. So we kept coming up with hit after hit in the early 60s. But so 62 was really our first touring, but it was really primitive. I mean, the sound systems weren't very good, but the energy of the audience was was everything. And radio ruled, and that was, you know, it, we did so well at Top 40 radio. It was so great. So we had a lot of exciting concerts, packed full of young fans and stuff. Now our younger fans are bringing their grandkids.
Now, you know, that was absolutely something I was going to get to. We have a Haley was one of our interns until Monday, and then she turned into a producer. And she graduated from high school in 2017. And she knew you were coming on, so she's wearing her Beach Boys T-shirt. And this is the thing.
That's awesome.
This is the thing. We discussed it last night on the air, and she came up with the name Intergenerational. And there's this love. It's not. It's just not being a fan. There's this love of the Beach Boys by a generation that really that shouldn't even know who you are. But not only do they know you, they love this music that you do, and that goes for some other bands too. And when do you think the first time you noticed that, well, you know what, we're going to take a break, because I don't want to shorten the response, because this is something we've been tossing around on the air for a couple of days. Mike Love, he's with the Beach Boys, and he's with us, and we'll be back with more on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker back with Mike Love from the Beach Boys. First of all, thank you so much, Mike, for taking time off of what you've described as an unbelievably busy schedule and giving us a call and spending some time with us here at WGN. So this whole thing about intergenerational fans, there must have been a time when you noticed it and said, wait, what's going on here? Because if we start out in the 60s, you know, we're teenagers, we're, you know, Little Deuce Coupe and the whole Beach Boy catalog. And then somewhere along the line, you must have noticed that the audience changed, but for the better. Can you recall when that first dawned on you?
Well, yeah, the Beach Boys, because of the subject matter and the harmonies and the melodies, appealed to successive generations. I mean, I remember when we first started out, the chairman of General Motors liked our music, you know? And that's when we were young guys, and he was probably in his 60s or something. So it's been like that for all our careers, but now our original fans are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and even beyond.
That's true.
And it's amazing because they'll show up at the state fairs and at the Ravinia-type places, the nice amphitheaters. The entire family will come out, and it's awesome to see multiple generations of a family enjoying music together, because that's not always the case. And it is with the Beach Boys. So it doesn't hurt that John Stamos is a big fan, and he put us on Full House. And those Full House reruns are very popular with young kids year after year after year.
You know, you guys have such a massive catalog of music. How in the world do you keep it fresh, and what kind of set list do you use? Do you change it from night to night? How do you approach all of that?
What we like to do is 2 hours worth of music. So we do an hour opening set, a 20-minute intermission, and another hour of music. And so that we're able to do songs from just about every era. Our biggest-selling single, believe it or not, was Kokomo in 1988. It went to number one.
Yeah.
Our biggest-selling single in the 60s was Good Vibrations in 1966. I went to number one, and we were voted the number one group in England, number two being the Beatles on the strength of Good Vibrations. But there was, you know, Surf and Safari, Surf and USA, I Get Around, Fun, 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 California Girls, Wouldn't It Be Nice, and God Only Knows from the Sounds album. We do all that stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, we love doing it. We love doing live music for fans. The audience response and the happiness those songs generate are what keeps us motivated
yes.
and keeps us incentivized to come out and do it year after year.
You know, you mentioned how great it was to be back doing live music after the COVID year, and I'm sure the audience uh-huh. brings. I'm sure the audience brings it. You know, they're ready. Just give me a note, and they've got to be on their feet. I mean, it's got to be amazing.
It is true.
Yeah,
it's very true, and they're beyond ready, and so are we. And
we're, I know
we appreciate more than ever being able to do live music.
You know, you mentioned Good Vibrations and the Beatles, and I think it's pretty well documented by now that the Beach Boys and the Beatles and McCartney and Lennon and Brian sort of had a competition going on. I don't think I knew about it at the time, but it's been brought up in documentaries and interviews that there was a, you know, you were one of the great bands in the United States that was able to weather the quote-unquote British invasion. Not only weather it, but actually sort of strike back with, you know, more complicated, more music that had more depth to it than just your original stuff. Let's say Good Vibrations. There's a perfect example right there. But there was things like Wild Honey, and there was one that I remember a song called Student Demonstration Time. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then
that's on a new box set that's coming out the end of this month. Student Demonstration Time is on that album. Actually, and the original was Riot and Cell Block Number 9.
Yeah,
which is a great R&B track.
Wow! What? So tell us about the box set. I mean that's opening up a whole new conversation.
There's more than 100 songs on it. Several CDs and stuff, and so it's pretty comprehensive. It's not just the hits, it's some of the lesser known songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And we're doing a half a dozen of those in our concert these days in the 2-hour set that we do.
I think you recorded an album in Holland at some point, and there's a song called Sail On Sailor, which has always been one of my personal favorite Beach Boys songs. I just think it's
you've mentioned a lot of songs in this few minutes of speaking, and so you're right.
Yeah,
Sail On Sailor was one of them. There's a song called Big Sur.
Yeah,
I guess we were homesick being in Holland, and we did a California Saga, and we wanted a change of pace. You know, we've been in Hollywood doing recording in the studios there, and we thought, well, what would it be like to go and live in another country? And we transported a lot of recording equipment over and did this album called Holland, and it was a cool experience.
You know, I hear of bands going to certain control rooms, studios, because there's something totally unique about that location that transcends your normal recording studio. What was it about the facilities in Holland that got you there?
No, we had to create a whole studio there. It was a farmhouse. But no, what we were used to doing and what was really a success for us was Western Recorders on Sunset Boulevard. There was Studio 3. That's where we did so many of the hit records that were chart records in the 60s.
I'm trying to recall some of the other songs I hit. And I'm doing this from memory, so I don't have notes. Wild Honey, Sail On Sailor, Student Demonstration Time. I know there's more in my brain, but they're not coming out at this point.
From that Wild Honey album, there's Darlin.
Oh, my God, how could I forget that?
Beautifully.
That's one of my absolute...
He also did Stevie Wonder's I Was Made to Love Her. He did an incredible job on that one, too. So we've always loved other people's music, you know, whether it be the Beatles or, you know, I like doing Back in the USSR. You know, I heard that first from Paul McCartney on his acoustic guitar at the table at Maharishi's place in Rishikesh, India. overlooking the Ganges. And so, yeah, I was maybe other than his girlfriend at the time, I was probably one of the first people ever to hear that song in its rudimentary form.
Unbelievable. That that it trip itself has got to be worth a complete interview. Maharishi.
We do a song called Pisces Brothers. George Harrison and I both had our birthdays in the spring of 1968 in India, and I do a song called Pisces Brothers because we're both Pisces and reminiscing about that time. And we also got together a couple years ago and did a recording of his song, Here Comes the Sun. Mm. So it was a mutual admiration, whether it be a Motown, the Motown's great, catalog, their great stable of artists, and amazing, or the Beatles, or the Mamas and Papas, or you name it. It was a rich period of music in the 60s, and we loved still doing those songs that created happiness then, and they continue to be treasured by many people.
That's right.
Experience from our younger fans too, that are just becoming aware of music.
We're never going to run out of happiness. We're always going to need our happiness recharged, and I think that's one of the great things about the Beach Boys. Mike Love, thank you so much for spending time with us, and as they say, break a leg and keep rocking.
Well, thanks, John, for having me on the program and getting the word out about Ravinia and surrounding areas as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.